These are my experience that I will raise with moving our general paper. The job we published last week. This job in this last lecture, we'll present the main ideas of the proof of this result. But in this talk, I would like to give an automatic proof of the Magnus principle for the particular case of several magnets which take their values in R2. This approach also leads to a certain efficient algorithm for constructive operator selection.
Excuse me, we're already in the front row. We do not hear you very clearly. I wonder if that's...
Is it better to lower the sound?
Very strange...
Interference.
Strange sound.
It sounds fuzzy, right?
Meeting move it down a little bit lower. Charlie,
it's slower.
There. And then just keep...
Is it okay now?
So for whom? I guess the people in the back row should...
1, 2, 3, is it okay? Okay, so in this talk, I would like to tell about some aspects of the Magnus principle for image selection. This result has been recently proved in our joint paper with Charlie published last year in Harvard. Charlie, in his last talk, he is on the real field, tell us about the main ideas of the proof of this result. But in this talk, I would like to give an automated proof of the Magnus principle for the case of several magnets which take their values in R2. This approach also leads to a certain efficient algorithm for constructive operator selections in this case. We also formulate and discuss a certain conjecture for the case of several magnets which take their values in Planck space. And if Dan Koenigs, I would also like to give another alternative proof of the Magnus principle in this two-dimensional case together with other efficient algorithm for image selection and together with geometric explicit criteria for the existence of image selections in two-dimensional solid program. We begin with main settings, which we understand out. Rho everywhere in Rho will be a pseudometric space. This means that the distance functions Rho is symmetric and satisfies the triangle. And modify Rho as Y magnet the value as 0 for distant X and Y. Y will be the Planck space, E by R, denotes the ball of values R centered in point Y. And point A will be fine. P Y will be unimode this space by Lipschitz and Y unimode this space of Lipschitz continuous mapping from M into Y supplied with the standard Lipschitz semi-node. Even a negative integer L by Kelsky Lipschitz and Y will know the period of all non-empty convex open subsets of Y from dimension of force number F. Dimension means the dimension of the defined half of a set of a convex set in Y, that is the dimension of the smallest defined subspace containing given a set. Let L be a mapping from M to this set A and phase of Y. We refer to this mapping as a set value mapping from M to this family. Set value because the value of F is not a point in Y, it's a convex number set. A senior value mapping F is called a selection form. Capital D. For each x and m, the point f of x belong to the set x. The selection f is said to be Lipschitz if f is Lipschitz mapping. And two final definitions, then definition, given sets may be y whenever you have to use in the cross of sum of these sets, that is the family of all sums of n from b. And finally, given sets n prime where th, a prime denotes the household distance. Set that is the smallest positive half, so that the R neighborhood of set A and Y contains A prime, and R neighborhood of A prime contains A. So these are settings, and we told the formulation of Lipschitz selection problem. Suppose we have a pseudometric space and the set of the mapping from M into the opposite of Y. We ask two questions. The first question, how can we decide whether there exists a Lipschitz selection F? I recall that is a mapping F, which is Lipschitz, and so for each X, the point of F belongs to the set of capital X. And the second question, consider the Lipschitz norms of all Lipschitz selections of F. How small can these norms be? So these are two questions related to the Lipschitz selection problem. So we have a purely geometrical problem about suitable choice of points in a vector convex complex set. So why is this family is induced by points of the metric space M? So this is a pure convex geometry. Here are some pictures illustrating this problem. We have a family of complex sets, and this is my point of reference. It's more complex, and why and so on. So the task is to find a new set of exponent point, fx, and so that. Such that the pairwise distances between these points are measured by given a pseudometric rho times some positive constant now. Okay, so how we treat this problem? Let me recall the finiteness principle rule in our generator with Charlie. We introduce a certain positive integer Y, which we call the finiteness number. This number is given by this formula 2 to the power min y plus 1 dimension y. For instance, y is Rm, the finiteness number is 2 to the power n. The finiteness principle states the following: let M be a proper pseudometric space, it's like every certain set of mapping from M to K. Why? We assume the following. We assume that for each subset of prime M consisting of at most n points, the restriction of M to M prime, that is, if they are considered only one prime, these mapping has the Lipschitz selection, which depends on the prime, Lipschitz selection M prime, with Lipschitz constant at most 1. Then we conclude that M has the Lipschitz selection on all of the metric space M with Lipschitz constant at most gamma, where gamma is constant in the corner. This is the finiteness principle for Lipschitz selection. And this number L is sharp, it can be increased. Before to go into discussion on my ideas of the proof, let me know that this finiteness principle is far reaching generalization of the classical Halley's theorem about intersection of convex finite dimensional sets. We obtain Halley's theorem as a particular case of the finiteness principle for trivial metric pseudometric rho, which is identically zero on M. In this case, the finiteness principle holds with a smaller number M, which is minimum n plus 2 dimension y plus 1, whenever y is r of M. This is m plus 1, this is classical Halley's number. So in this case, for this trivial pseudometric function f is Lipschitz, if and only if it's obvious f is a constant mapping, f is a constant for m. So f has a Lipschitz selection, if and only if there is a constant c, so which belongs to each set of x for all x for m. In other words, f has a selection. If this family fx of all these finite dimensional sets of dimension most m has a common point. This is precisely the case of Bell's theorem. So let me call this theorem for this case. This classical theorem states the following: let K screen be a family of convex complex subset of balanced space phi of dimension most. Each set of the family is a family of dimension at most n. We support that for each family k prime of k consisting of at most n and y elements, intersection of all these sets of the family k prime is not n. Then there exists a point common to all of the family k. This is Halley's theorem. It's the practical case of the finiteness principle. Okay, so we return to the finiteness principle, to the main ideas of the proof. So here our task, to 4 and 5 to each set of things. So 4 is the fairway distance, is how much arrives a car connected. And row of times around that, it's a rather difficult task. So at this step, let us try to simplify slightly the problem. Instead of points, let's try to choose these sets, not a point, so a set of a set. Let me illustrate this idea of the case from the supermarket. We have a certain series of avocados. Each avocado can be considered as a Cornish compact substitute of 3. We index this variable of avocados by points. So then we through the metric space, so our task now to find inside of each of these rules a certain point, so the perfect distance is bounded by certain metric. So our aim is to simplify this point by choosing one point by complex compact. So let's try to extract from each of our a certain compact set, or so that under certain conditions, on this course, this family at this condition, which immediately guarantees the existence of a richer selection. So let's try to do this for this avocado fx. We denote this score by gx. We do this for another representative y set. We call this set gy. So the question, what is it? This condition of this course, which guarantees the existence. Selection, that's its very nature of the symbol. These cells that your MNG is Lipschitz as a mapping from the metric space M into the metric space of all subsets of Banach space, which is based on Hausdorff log distance. As well, this inequality calls for log it is x and y. We'll prove in a minute this claim, but before let me formulate set definition of the core of a set of mapping. So you know, we have a metric space and a set of mapping M and a certain positive constant gamma. We say that the set of mapping G from M into the test K is said to be gamma core of the set of mapping F E, and the set GX is the substitute of X for all X from M and the following inequality calls the Hausdorff distance between the cores is majorized by the distance between the origins and the times constant gamma 1. In particular, any Lipschitz selection of F with Lipschitz constant gamma is zero dimensional gamma core. But now we are going to choose arbitrary precisely zero dimensional gamma 4. And the following claim states that it's possible, so it states that following claim G, the gamma core of a well-implemented F, then F has a Lipschitz selection, F is Lipschitz constant at most C times gamma, where C is a constant dependent on M. That's what we need. And the proof is immediate from the following fact, from the following theorem. Let K split to I be the family of all finite dimensional empty convex compact subset of Y. So it's union of all these values, k and y. The next result states that there exists a mapping s y from this family k split by 2y, so that the point s y k belongs to k for each finite dimensional set k. It's the first condition, and for each two finite dimensional sets k1, k2, the distance between the points s y k1 and k2 is bounded by Hausdorff distance between these sets times gamma. Here gamma is a constant depending only dimensions of these sets, k1, k2. And whenever y is a Hilbert space, the classical Steiner point of a complex body provides such mapping as y. But I have no time for definition and my properties of this remarkable point. But whenever y is not Hilbert, this construction is no longer box in the problem of this result, we use those ideas. We refer to this point SYK as a Steiner type point of the complex set, K, finite dimensional set K, and we can call SY the Steiner type selector. Now the proof of claim is elementary. We define even, let's suppose that has a gamma of G, we differentiate required Lipschitz selection F as the composition of the Steiner point with the force, of course, this is going to X, Y, G, X for each X in M. This point belongs to Fx because by the first property of the Steiner point, S y g x is a point in gx, and because of the first property of the core gx in the subset of f, so f is a selection of f, and clearly the distance between fx and y, which is the distance between Steiner points of gx and gy, is bounded by the second property of Steiner selected by Hausdorff distance between the sets time some constant c depending on the dimensions of gx and gy. GFGY are subset of M dimensional sets, so the dimension is bounded by N, C depends only on M, and by the second property of the Kosakov's of the distance between GFGY is bounded by N and XY, and that's it. F is the Lipschitz selection of F, is Lipschitz constant of C times N. Okay. So, we turn to the proof of the finiteness principle given in this paper. As I said, Charlie will tell us this more detail about the main steps of this proof, but in this talk I would like to recall this, the main idea of the proof. Actually, in this paper, we construct a certain gamma core of set of mapping satisfying the hypothesis of the finiteness principle. We do this in three steps. At the first step, we introduce the family gamma from M to KY depending on negative integer F, which we call basic Fourier sets. It's precisely the expression of basic Fourier sets from Chappell's lexis to Posset's case of Lipschitz selection. Selections, this for each L, this family, this set gamma Lx is not empty, and gamma Lx is a subset of that capital X, which x and h l, and for any x and y of any non-negative integer l, the lambda rho xy neighborhood of gamma l y contains gamma l plus 1 x. In particular, for given x, this is a family of embedded subsets of f. Here is the corresponding picture, so we see that these sets are embedded each other, and this property holds lambda rho xy neighborhood of gamma x produces gamma plus y. Unfortunately, we can assume that for a certain L, this mapping gamma Lx provides a core of the set of the because if this provides a core gamma, this neighborhood contains gamma Ly or gamma L plus 1, y which may be much more smaller than gamma L plus. So we have now this property, which we need in definition of the Hausdorff distance. So apparently, in general, this family of mappings, gamma L, is not a core of the set of the mapping for any L. So we continue our construction at the second step becomes the finiteness principle for any finite metric tree. I'll give a definition of finite metric a bit later. This proof relies on ideas developed in the paper of Charlie Arjen and Jared Lully. It's published a couple of 3 years ago, and in this paper, the finiteness principle is proven for M to be Rm. This is the most technically difficult part of our proof. We use various new ideas related to Agata dimension of a metric space and so on. So this is a difficult part. But whenever we know that the finite metric tree is a finite metric, so forth, at step 3, we at last construct a core of second level mapping. So in our paper, we do this as an intersection of orbits of Lipschitz selection with respect to certain family of metric trees. I also define this notion. Later, it's not a unique construction for the core, for instance, in the paper of Harris Courtney. Also, he suggested another way for constructing of the core whenever the finiteness principle falls for it. that rather long, rather difficult construction for core separate latent satisfier, the hypothesis of the finiteness principle. So in this talk, I would like to suggest another approach about the methods for constructing of basic hypotheses, which may lead to a rather simple construction for a core of separate matter. So it is the following. Suppose we have a separate non-negative concept lambda. We introduce a set. I will now explain this stretch notation. As follows, we take an imaginary set, we take lambda works by neighborhood of the set F Z. Here we expect to get the point of Fx of any Lipschitz selection with constant input lambda by definition. So Fx belongs to this set for U Z, and so that we take intersection of all the sets here, we expect to have the value of selection of set measure F is constant in cos lambda. So, in this initial formulation of Lipschitz selection problem, actually there is no any connection between the metric row and federally of set element. So this sets effect may be huge, in spite of this metric may be very small. So this operation actually, in certain sense, provides a sort of balanced set with respect to this metric. Well, therefore, we refer to the set for elementing as a lambda balanced refinement of the metric. Picture, this is a subset of F's, we don't know, an empty subset, which is convex compact for all X and M. Then we do the following. Let's fix a certain finite sequence of positive number, lambda 0, lambda n, each lambda non-decreasing, each lambda is greater than or equal to 1. And we iterate this procedure, of for lambda balance refinement. At each step, we apply lambda k balance refinement to the previous iteration and obtain the next iteration. In other words, at the zero step, we do multiply f0 to pf. Whenever we have set parameter fk, so the iteration k, we produce lambda k balanced refinement of fk, where there's an x iteration fk plus 1 x for every x of each positive integer k from 1 to n minus 1. Here are certain pictures. This is the first step. We refine f0, we produce lambda 0 balanced refinement of 0 present as the set of the 1 and so on. 2 as the number 1 balance refinement of 1 and so on, 3. So we have a certain family of set element independent of parameter L. It can be easily shown this again we're obtaining basic convex sets. But we want more. We wish that at a certain step L, this corresponding set element FL will be a core of the set element in L. Let's formulate this statement as a conjecture. This is a conjecture. So let M be a positive integer. Then this constant L, positive integer depending on M, a constant gamma depending on M, greater than or equal to 1, and a non-decreasing positive 16 for parameters, lambda 0, M, and so on. And each greater than or equal to 1, such as the following calls. Support that F satisfies the hypothesis of the finiteness theorem, in other words, its restriction of the the setter and F to each setter prime consisting of a trance and points where F is defined. So now was the restriction of F prime has a region selection with which to possibly want to one must one. Then the setter claiming F is a gamma core of F. That's a conjecture. Let me give a reformulation of this conjecture, which does not require the notion of gamma core of setter. So if F is a Lipschitz with respect to the Hausdorff hermetic, so the Hausdorff distance within a parallax part is bounded by the metric times gamma, then by definition, FLX belongs to the lambda rho xy neighborhood. So, let us consider the gamma refinement of FL. Because FLY is this formula, this gamma rho xy neighborhood of FL contains FLX, the set FL plus 1X contains FLY X. But on the other hand, we know that FLY is a subset of FL. So we see that FL plus 1 is precisely FL on all of the set L. Therefore, adding constant lambda to the set of parameters, or the last parameters, say lambda L plus 1 L, gamma, we obtain the following variant of the conjecture, which is absolutely equivalent to the previous conjecture. Given positive integer n, there exists positive integer L in the polynomial n, and non-decreasing positive sequence of parameters, that lambda 0, lambda n, each greater than or equal to 1, such that for every set of elements f satisfying the hypothesis of Hermite's principle, the following stabilization property, also at step L, the set of elements f is not empty, that it coincides with step plus 1 on all set x. So it's similar to the lesson refinement, something like that. There is no connection, such as a connection at least. Okay, we have two conjectures, which look nice. They only recommend to answer the following question. Is there any chance that these conjectures fold? The following theorem, which is the main result of this talk, states that there is a chance that this conjecture holds. We prove that for small m, the conjecture holds. So here is a statement, let me go here to space, then conjecture 5 holds with. That's interesting. So we take L to be 2, so we do two iterations with parameter 64, 188, and gamma to be 2 to the power 14. Whenever the first case, so this conjecture holds. Whenever m equals 1, y is an arbitrary part of space. So this is a case of setter that mapping into the terminal of all line segments of a part of space. We refine twice the original mapping that its parameters 2 power 6 to power 7, and after the second iteration, we obtain a core with constant gamma. And the conjecture holds in two-dimensional case, two-dimensional, for n equals 2, and for two-dimensional balance weights y. Same situation, we do an arbitrary curve mapping, satisfying the hypothesis of the parameters weights. We produce two iterations with this parameter, and we obtain a core with this constant gamma. So, in this talk, I would like to give a sketch of the proof of this result. Second situation for a mapping to the family Pontes compact subsets of R2 of two dimensions, say of R2. We know that in this case the finite response is precisely 4. So we have the following hypothesis, so we have put the following assumption on setter. And we know that for each subset and prime of our pseudometric space consisting of at most four elements, the restriction of F to M prime has a Lipschitz selection perpendicular prime with Lipschitz constant at most one. So that's what we know about F.
Neighborhood, it intersects, then all these are neighborhood,
with respect to all choices of getting the prime of this predicate script. This is a very simple corollary of two-dimensional theorem. And so we have a representation of the intersection, but not the last one, we have more. Now we apply this result to obtain another representation of this search at this potential core. We can simply prove, we can prove that the first refinement is not empty set for each x using Harris theorem, but let me do this later. So we can suppose that this in this representation, the intersection of all z prime is not empty. We have proved the most obvious that a bit later. Now we apply lemma, the previous lemma, to this case, and we obtain that GS can be represented in the following form. We choose arbitrary Z, Z1, Z2, and then we produce the following complex set. We take DZ1, Z neighborhood of the first set F1. We intersect this neighborhood with DZ2, Z neighborhood of Z2, and then we produce 2DZ next neighborhood. Section, we take a intersection of all choices of Z1 and 2, and this is another representation of this set GX. So we obtain in brackets a new interesting object for these sets depending on Z1, Z2, and Z. Let us, you know, this set by H given Z1, Z2, and X. Here is a formal definition, but let me describe this set which appears in our calculation using the notion of an orbit of a set of Lipschitz mapping, an orbit of a certain point with respect to Lipschitz mapping, denoted and defined on a finite metric tree. So in our case, this set A, Z1, Z2, X can be obtained as follows. Let us consider all Lipschitz mapping on the following metric space consisting of four points at Z, Z1, and Z2, which is Lipschitz with respect to the metric tree given on this picture. So we say that G is Lipschitz with respect to this metric G whenever the distances between corresponding points, both joined by an edge, bounded by a corresponding weight which we assign to this edge. For instance, in our case, gx minus gz is bounded by 2gzx, and so gz, cz is bounded by z prime, and so on. And then, given gzx, we consider all these Lipschitz mapping with respect to this metric tree, and we consider the image of x over this family of this Lipschitz mapping. This is a certain complex subset. R2, we refer to this set as the orbit of point x with respect to this metric tree. So precisely in our definition, we obtain this set H as the orbit of x with respect to this simplest metric tree. Now gx is the intersection of all these sets H with respect to all choices Z and Z2, and we apply Harris theorem to prove that this set is not empty. What we have to do, we have to actually to consider any three of these representative, right? Each one depends on three points of metric space of point X. So together, if we take three arbitrary sets H, these three sets depend only 10 points of metric space M, right? Now we know that for every 10 points there is a Lipschitz selection responsible for us. This is our 10 points assumption for M. And it can be easily seen that if we take this Lipschitz selection at point X, this point belongs to GS. It immediately follows from the definition. So we prove that GX is not empty. assumption. So it demands to show that for each x and y, the gamma dxy neighborhood of g contains gy, and we are done. That's our task, that's the last line. Let's prove that. First of all, again applying the corollary of Hermite's theorem, we can give a certain representation of this neighborhood. So this is a formula given in the second line. We can calculate, we can represent this neighborhood as follows. We choose arbitrary points u1, v2, pv1, v2, x, in our magic space there, so we choose a certain arbitrary 7-point subset. And for this given set script, we calculate the following thing. We take an intersection of set H for these elements u1, u2, x, the same for v1, v2. We intersect and we then produce the gamma t as my neighborhood of this intersection. This follows from calculation of neighborhood of intersection of convex sets, which follows from Kay's theorem, right? It's okay. Okay. So we see with this one more new object. We will consider the object in brackets. So let us fix these 7 points, u1, u1, x, and we denote by S expression, right? As is set S, which is the section for set H. It remains to prove for any choice of these elements u1, u2, u2, this set S contains gy, and this that we are done because that's our value. I recall that gy is the section of corresponding sets H, Z, 1, Z, 2. Now we have another interesting thing. This set S also is a certain orbit of point Y, but with respect to this more complicated magic tree with weights given by this formula, this precisely follows from the motion. So our task is to prove that this orbit of GY with respect to this more difficult, more complicated magic tree contains GY, which is actually the intersection of much more simplest magic trees of depth 2, actually. So depth 3. Why is this possible? Actually, we have arbitrary sets. That's the question. Kelly's theorem no longer works in this situation. We need something more a strong result. And then we present this result. This is actually proposition 11, which was more general separation of arbitrary magnetic space. Very interesting and very important proposition, which works in many cases. So let me formulate this result. We have a convex set in arbitrary Banach space, arbitrary convex set. We have a point A and a positive number R. We suppose that the ball center in Davis radius R intersects this S. Then we state the form for each positive S, the tiny S neighborhood of the intersection of this set C with this ball A, but with radius 2r, contains the S neighborhood of C intersect with S neighborhood of this ball in 2r. It's interesting, if we take the same neighborhood as the right hand side, it's of course not true, because the right hand side contains the left hand side of the state. So in the right hand side, we decrease the radius of neighborhood from 9s to s, otherwise the result is not true. The proof of this result is going out in the literature. There is maybe a page of half. It's the form of a simple box in arbitrary space. Let me show in this lecture that this condition, this possibly is very important. For the simplest case, we may C is same plane and B is a polynomial to infinity. In other words, it's a square with S square to the cardinal axis. Supposedly, this property does not satisfy. We have a certain square, certain ball, which intersects set C. But we see that in the point of the section, the angle between the boundaries of C and B is very small. So let us produce this operation. We first perforate the section, and then we produce minus neighborhood of this intersection. And we compare the formula we take S neighborhood of S, S neighborhood of BA to R. Here's the set. And we see that the diameter of this set may be huge. We have no any control of this diameter because the angle between the coordinates is very small. So these two sets might be very different. But the situation is changed drastically whenever the both radius R intersects C. In this case, we see that the angle between the boundaries and the coordinate intersection is rather big. So we have certain control. We calculate first the minus neighborhood of intersection, and then we produce the intersection of S neighborhoods. So in this case, because the angle between boundaries is not small, it is a sort of positive constant. As this is possible, it can be proven that the second set is contained. This is a container, this. So this is a briefly geometrical ground of this lemma. Now we apply this lemma to the case of I2 in a bit more complicated situation. Then we have three sets in R2. Each set is complex. We have a positive lambda. And we obtain proposition. Provide one more result about calculation of neighborhoods of intersection. But the following sentence: we know that intersection of set C1, C2, and R neighborhood of C is not empty. Then, as stated before, for each positive delta, the following set A in neighborhood of intersection of C to our neighborhood of intersection of C1 and C2 contains intersection of these three sets given in the last line. It looks complicated. How is this formula can be remembered? But believe me that it's very simple. We see that in each set in the last line, we have only two sets, C1, C2, C1, C2, C2, C. So this formula can be remembered very easy. Three times from the left-hand side, we remove a certain set, but we take the neighborhoods smaller in certain time. For instance, if we remove set C from the left-hand side, and we decrease the radius from 18 delta, 9 times to 2 delta, we obtain the first set, you know, C1, C2, plus 2 radius, 2 delta instead of 18 delta. There, we remove C2, and we decrease the neighborhoods, radius of neighborhoods. So instead of 2 arbiters, R, instead of 18 delta, again it takes 9 times smaller, 2 delta. And this time we do it for the last item. We remove C1 and we do the same. That's the formula. How begins the section? And this formula provides actually a rather powerful tool for treating this problem with metric trees of depth 2 and 3. Let's see how it works. I prepared certain slides for proving of this result. The result actually follows from the previous lemma we had seen. Unfortunately, we have no time for details, but these details can be found in these slides. So, that is true. Now, we're going to the proof of the embedding that each set S depending on this parameter contains actually intersection of set H did. For each of the ads and ones that you know. So here are the four definitions, but it's much more simple to work with diagrams of please recall the structure of set S. Set S in the orbit of element Y with respect to Lipschitz metric defined on this metric tree. Now we do the following. We give another representation. Instead of, we see that the point, this point GU belongs to the which is d to our neighborhood. And at the same time, this point G belongs to set C2, which is F, D U to neighborhood of C2. The theory of point GX is actually from our definition, this set C is defined by this metric tree on points X, V, V1, V2, and then by our definition, this precise set H divided by GX. And now, in these settings, we have the following reformulation. Let R be the distance between U and X, and delta be the nine distances between X and Y. In this sentence, this set S precisely can be represented the same form as in our proposition. S is a dim delta, and a neighborhood of C intersected with 2R delta, which is epsilon C2. And let us apply now to this set as a previous statement. But before we have to prove that the hypothesis false for this statement, that C1, C2 intersected this R neighborhood of C is not empty. Again, we use our 10-point assumption in this case. Let's see how much point involved in the definition of C1, C2, and C. We see that only the points C1, B2, U, B1, B2, B, and X are 7 points. So we can apply our 10-point assumption to this case. This assumption produces a selection of separate this constant at most one. And again, it can be easily seen precisely immediately from definition that this set C1, C2, of C contains FU, and we are done. The hypothesis of this proposition holds. We may apply this result to set S. So by this proposition, the set S contains the intersection of six sets, A1, A2, A3. Again, I recall how we produce the one and three. We remove first C from our form of pockets, but we consider this set is smaller. Radiuses of neighborhood instead of 18 delta, I have smaller 2 delta. We remove C2 from the left hand side of 1032, but we take the neighborhood of smaller values R instead of 2R, again 2 delta instead of 18 delta, and the same for H3. So now we have to prove the A1, A2, and C, all this as contains GY. Let's do that. A1, immediately we obtain from the definition. So here is the definition of set A1 in terms of set parametric curve. We see that it's very similar to the definition of the set H, U1, U2. The only problem that we add instead of DUY as a sum of DUX plus 9. But trying to inequality, we see that this number is greater than the inequality of R. So if we take DUY instead of the sum of brackets, we obtain the smallest set, which is precisely H, and by definition of cluster choose, it's very formal. But we have no problem whenever we try to prove that A2 contains GY. Let me recall the situation, so we obtain S from this situation. So we obtain A2 after removing of set C2. In this case, let me recall, we decrease R to distance 2R two times, we obtain R. And we decrease 9 times the distance between GS and GY. In other words, the set A2 is determined by this metric tree. So the set A2 is precisely the y, the orbit of y with respect to this metric tree. We see that the sum of distances du1, du, dux by triangle of equality greater than or equal to du1x. So if we consider this metric tree, the orbit of y with respect to this metric tree, we obtain a smaller set as below. And now we have a similar situation as in the previous case. We have a certain metric tree, so given by this, a certain orbit given by this metric tree. So we introduce corresponding sets C1 bigger as D V1, the neighborhood of V1, C2 by this formula, the set C by this formula, and again we see the set S bigger. Is the same form as in proposition 12, so that we may proposition, provided that the hypothesis of this proposition will be again use the our 10-point assumption for this case, the same rate that it holds. So we apply this proposition again and obtain the required conclusion. For instance, let's check what we have whenever we remove C wiggle. If we remove C wiggle, we obtain this magic space. Let me recall that this time we reduce the distance 18 dxy, 9 times 3 dxy. We don't change the distance between g and gy. So we obtain that the set A2 is determined by this magic tree. Again, we see that whenever we, instead of summing these distances, dvx dy, take the smaller by turning the quantity dv by v, we obtain a smaller set, which by definition is precisely the set hv by v1 to v, which by definition can be checked. So the same we do for A2, for the case for removing all sets C1 equals C2 equals. So we see that after second application of proposition 12, we obtain the required conclusion that we set it to contain G1 in the same way we put that A3 from our definition containing G1. So we prove for this required embedding gamma dxy neighborhood will be containing gy with gamma, which we obtain from two application of proposition 12. So because we apply two times, we obtain 9 to the power of 2, and to solve this, this is a constant gamma, which is about 162. And now by interchanging the rows, now by the intersection of the rows of x and y, we're obtaining the embedding the current x value of g. In other words, we have proved that the absorbed distance between this set g x g y is 1.5 times x y, which is in terms of metric noise, is equal to the power of this gamma x y. We have proved that the set relative g is 2 to the power 6 gamma corpus. That's it. So we see that we did for two-dimensional case this conjecture loss. And now we obtain a certain, this procedure leads us to a certain efficient algorithm for construction of Richard selection. Let me draw in some pictures to show what we have done actually. So we have a set relative F. We have to calculate the following constant alpha. Alpha is the following constant. We satisfy the following condition. For every subset in prime, this is across 4 points, the restriction of F has an electric selection is Lipschitz, the same as most alpha. So we check any 4 sets, we calculate the Lipschitz components of Lipschitz selection, which also exists, and we know. We take supremum of all choices of the sets in prime, and this is a constant alpha. Now, we do the following initial pictures. So we have initial separate meaning. We reduce 2 to the power 6 times alpha balance refinement of this mapping F, obtain new generation K versus F1. Then we produce 2 to the power 7 times alpha balance refinement of F1, we obtain second generation. Our theorem, our proof show that F2 is a gamma core of set relative F with gamma, which reaches 2 to the power 7 alpha Lipschitz selection. So we heard about half of it. So we know two ways, just for Steiner point, just rather difficult operation. So I have another approach also, not simple. But in this case, in two-dimensional case, we can very easily to obtain, construct the Lipschitz selection. Let's do the following. For each set of two, we construct the smallest rectangle with side spherical coordinate axis containing given set F2x as this picture. We take the center of this rectangle, and this is the selection of this rectangle with certain constant. Why with the same constant as for gamma or the same gamma? Of course, in this case, I consider the smallest, the simplest case of L to infinity. So I'm sorry, I didn't tell about that. But we are in R2 with the normal L to infinity, where each ball is a square. Why is that true? It's false for this rather simple statement. General statement. Let's keep a convex composite that the center of the smallest rectangle containing this set belongs to this set, first of all. If you have two convex composites, the Hausdorff distance between their smallest rectangle is bounded by Hausdorff distance between these sets. And finally, for every two two rectangles with side spiral coordinate axis, the distance between their centers is bounded by Hausdorff distance between the rectangles. All these statements are rather simple, not trivial, but simple. And now, because we have this statement for Turing, we know that F2 is a core and satisfies the inequality of Hausdorff distance between F2 axis to y is bounded by half x y. So combining this statement with this inequality, we see that taking F2 be the center of this smallest rectangle provides a Lipschitz selection with constant gamma. And the gamma is a constant from our proof. Gamma is proof that F2 is gamma point 2 to the power 13 times 2 to the power 2 to the power 14 times alpha. Okay, so my time is over. Thank you very much for your attention. Last slide.
Any questions?
Pavel, your conjecture from the beginning that a certain number of balanced balanced refinements. Next.
Let me show this conjecture. Right. That's it.
So this implies the finiteness theorem, if it is true. Do you think it might follow from the finiteness theorem? Is it equivalent?
No.
Or is it strictly stronger?
No. If we don't, it's something new. Even if you know this finiteness principle falls, we don't know why after two, say, to the respect of two refinements, these sets, why this condition calls no distance, that's something. Which we have to prove. I don't know how we think it can be reduced. Of course, you know this is the core we have. But in other direction, I have no idea. Charlie, it would be very interesting to show this in the past. So I would be very surprised. Because this is certainly something additional problem.
So maybe this is strictly stronger than the finite.
Maybe. For instance, in the dimensional case, I don't know.
Three-dimensional
case. Unfortunately, we have two-dimensional. So Pepe can produce such, but it's not so powerful, it doesn't prove that all can produce two entities of smaller depths. That's the problem. So apparently we need a stronger result in this kind of, say, three-dimensional case, but it's still it's not clear in what direction, so it's very interesting. There's the obstruction.
Okay. So if there are no further questions, then I think now we break. There's coffee and cookies outside. And we reconvene tomorrow morning. Thank you. Let's thank you.
talk at some point soon? Or
yeah, yeah. I am supposed to talk with somebody now, but maybe we can like talk tomorrow or Thursday maybe?
Yeah, either one's fine.
Is Thursday okay for you?
Yeah, yeah, I'm leaving Friday morning.
Okay.
But like, or Friday afternoon.
So let's talk Thursday after the afternoon talk.
Okay.
At like 2:30.
Sounds good to me. Yeah.